matter.
I'm Sharkey's Goon. Today, big news, especially for you, Goon, there's going to be a Dr. Aphra audiobook, and I'm not just making this up. I am sourcing StarWars.com here. They are excited to reveal Dr. Aphra, an audiobook original, an expanded adaptation of the kinda good, kinda bad archaeologist introduction in the Marvel Darth Vader series. In the story, Aphra makes a deal with the Sith Lord, never the best idea, and begins a memorable misadventure. Goon, are you excited for Dr. Aphra?
I'm very excited for Dr. Aphra. I think she's probably one of the best characters that they've come out with in the last maybe 10 to 20 years, where you actually care about the character. She's basically like a female Han Solo with more moral ambiguity. So I think that this could be a great starting point for her with the audiobook. And I would love to see more content with her, you know, whether it be TV, film, or, you know, even a cartoon series.
Yeah, I'm surprised this isn't going to Disney Plus, but maybe, I don't know, maybe they just want to test the waters a little bit. I'm curious to see what they mean by audiobook. Now, will this just be a person narrating and maybe doing a little voice characterization? Or will they bring this to life with special effects and, say, having, you know, it's the difference between, say, I'm the narrator saying, and then Darth Vader said, Luke, I am your father, or getting somebody to actually voice Darth Vader.
I wonder if they're going to do something like New School, where they actually take the art of the comic books and just do an audiobook over the comic books, where, like, if they wanted to put it on Disney Plus, they do the panels, and then they have different voice actors talking over the panels.
By the way, before we get letters, I'm aware that he doesn't say, Luke, I am your father. Okay, I just was riffing a line there. Don't email us at Shark and Goon. Sorry, you were saying I like your idea a lot.
I was saying that I think that what they could do is take the panels of the graphic novels or the books of the comic books and just have voice actors doing the lines from that and have a narrator and then maybe throw in a couple of special effects where it's a visual comic book where you could listen to it if you wanted to. But if they threw it on Disney Plus or on StarWars.com, you can actually see what's going on too without spending a whole bunch of money on actually producing a show or a cartoon.
Have you fired up Disney Plus lately? I'm realizing as we're recording here, I've kind of subconsciously totally punched out on Clone Wars. Just this last season just not grabbing me. I don't know how many behind I am now.
Well, I'm caught up. I just watch it because I never know when we're going to podcast and I don't want to get thrown a curveball. So,
is it good?
I would say the first 9 episodes or it didn't get good until this 10th episode. The 10th episode actually is moving more into the Revenge of the Sith kind of area, you know, with the whole Order 66 and Darth Maul popping back up and, you know, the clones actually having personalities. It took all the way until this episode for me, like, all right, I'm actually in with the Mandalorians and Siege of Mandalore.
Oh, good, because those episodes with Ahsoka and the two sisters, I was like, what are we doing here? Like, I was ready for a Padme episode after those.
I wasn't ready for a Padme episode, but I was ready for any kind of droids to actually have more personality than everything in these episodes up to this point. I mean, like, we haven't really talked about it, but I finally played Star Wars The Fallen Order and I finished it. And I was more happy with those droids that were in it than, you know, some of the stuff that I've seen on screen.
You finished it? It took me like 4 months. I guess you're just home all day now?
I've been home all day and playing, you know, oh, the wife went to bed. I'm going to play for 8 hours till 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm just going to finish it. And then I finished it. And it was just very weird for me with that because every time I was watching the main character, I just kept thinking of Cameron Monaghan and working with him on Gotham.
That's cool. So spoiler-ish for that game, spoiler-ish, it ends really well. Like once you get through the slog and kind of the, I don't know, the end of the first third, it gets really interesting. The gameplay changes and the stories are pretty good. And there's one scene with a droid that actually emotionally affected me. I was like, that was really good writing.
I got to tell you that I wish they turned that into a film. They could just use all the cutscenes and just put it on. And I would watch it. It was so much better than some of the stuff we've seen. And I think you were talking about the Jedi temple where it was slogged down. The only reason I kept playing it was because you said it gets better after this.
Yeah, and I had read that review. That I was ready to bail on that game, and I read a review that said, get through the slog and it gets better and the gameplay changes, and it's absolutely true. You know, after a while, like climbing walls and trying to figure out which way to go, it's like, oh my God, come on, can we get going with this game already? But then it opens up, and the storytelling in the back third and some surprise appearances, really good.
That was better than, like I said, some of the stuff that's actually been produced as TV cartoons and movies. So I was all into it, and I was very upset when it was over.
All right, well, I've got another Star Wars one from you. This was from Variety, so this isn't like Joe's comic book website saying this. However, it's from Variety and not StarWars.com, as you know and probably our listeners know. They're pretty buttoned down with how they announce things. So I don't know what to say about this because Disney didn't announce it, yet Variety is reputable. This is a new Star Wars series in the works at Disney Plus. Variety has learned from sources. The series hails from Leslie Headland, the co-creator, showrunner, and executive producer of Russian Doll. Details of the exact plot of the series are being kept up under wraps. But sources say it will be a female-centric series that takes place in a different part of the Star Wars timeline than other projects. She's said to be attached and serve as showrunner as the series, which the show is currently staffing. Disney did not respond for a comment. What do you make of this?
When I heard that it was going to be female-centric, I was hoping it would be Dr. Aphra live action. I'm sure this is a part of that whole new directive of the where they're trying to do it. The different timeline in the past, and I'm sure that this is what it is. You know, it's going to be Game of Thrones, Star Wars, I bet.
Well, the other thing that I find really surprising here, it got picked up a little things. I don't know Leslie Headland. She's probably awesome. I really like Russian Doll a lot. Great show if you haven't watched it. But one interesting line on Leslie's resume is she was Harvey Weinstein's personal assistant for like a year. Does Disney want to go there?
What year was it?
I'd have to look that up. I can look that up as we talk.
So like if it was, you know, 20 years ago, I mean, everybody's going to have contact somehow with people in the business, you know, and if she came out with, you know, she showran Russian Doll, or she's had enough stuff in her past where she's had good projects, I don't think Disney really cares about if they went there. I mean, they had look what happened with James Gunn. They fired him and they brought him back.
Yeah, it gets complicated, right? Because, you know, she's not the one doing the things that Harvey's doing, but you know, it gets really hard. If you're the assistant, what did you know? When did you know it? But you didn't do it. So do you go to creative jail forever? And you're not allowed to work, and Russian Doll's good. I'm just surprised Disney even wants to play in any space where I'm even having that conversation about a Disney product.
Like I said, if you started not hiring people because of who they worked for in the past or who they dealt with in the past, you'd have nobody left in Hollywood.
She wrote a play about Harvey in 2008, so she had been an assistant at least prior to 2008. And it's 2020 now, right? So that's, you know, 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So what do you think of the idea of a series and a, quote, female-centric series?
I don't care if it's female-centric. I just want good stuff.
Just be good. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's. I don't care if it's, you know, it could... It could be a whole bunch of Ewoks as long as it was good. I don't care. Just make good shows. If they're, you know, what might be great about this is that they're not trying to change an existing character into a different gender or a different ethnicity. You know, they're actually coming up with their own content and coming up with new characters, which is something that you and I have talked about in the past. As long as there's good writing and good actors, we'll be behind whatever they throw out.
Yeah, like we started talking about earlier, Dr. Aphra. I'm not sitting here being like, you know, I'd really be into that, but I wish Dr. Aphra were a dude. It's just, to me, it's just Dr. Aphra.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, I'm really liking Dr. Aphra. I really wish that this female-centric show would be about Dr. Aphra. Who knows if it is or if it isn't? But I just know that as long as you do good shows and you have good stuff behind it, I love it. Now, that being said, they're starting to try to gear up a lot of different shows. Like, you got the Cassian Andor show. You got season two of The Mandalorian. You have this that they're working on, the Ben Kenobi show. At what point does it make too many Star Trek shows on Disney Plus?
Yeah. Well, I assume you spread them out. So, you know, if it's seasons of, these were what, eight? I don't remember. Was Mandalorian 8 or 10? It was 8, right?
I think it's 8, but you're going to usually run between 8 and 10 episodes unless they're only doing 6, like they did with Plot Against America, you know, on HBO. So, you know, maybe some are 8, some are 10, some are 6, depending on what you do. But I still feel like at some point you need a little bit of a break to cleanse your palate.
Yeah, so if you did 5 series a year and they're 8 episodes each, that's 40 of the 52. You can let us wind down for 3 weeks in between. That feels about right to me.
I just don't know. Like, I feel like they might – like, I love the fact that they're pushing content, but it might just be a little too much overkill where you start going, man, I think there's too much Star Wars.
Imagine we live so long that I start saying there's too much Star Wars. I did live long enough to say there's too much Star Trek.
Yeah, and that could only be next, you know?
Oh, boy. Well, if you like crazy Star Wars things, on our next episode, I'm going to walk you through what happened in the Marvel comics way back when. We will talk about one of my favorite characters, Jackson, when Shark and Goober turned.